You know, the bulletin says the Gospel according to John, message to be delivered by Alan Bryant. And Dean told me I could preach on whatever I wanted to. So, kind of shocked me. So I'm going to go back to John. You know, I was thinking about teaching from Isaiah chapter 9. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about John chapter 8, verse 12, and I'm going to use Isaiah 9 to do it, okay? Now, last week, I shared about the woman caught in adultery. And immediately after that little story, there's a verse. And last week I thought, why is this here? And we didn't talk about it. Maybe it's in the wrong place. And after he tells the lady, I don't condemn you, go and sin no more. And then Jesus spoke to them around. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I thought, what does this have to do with this passage? Well, I just found this out this week. Okay? And Isaiah 9 helps us understand that. Before I start, who likes Christmas lights? Who here? Back over here? Everybody? It's just cool, isn't it? Christmas is a cool time. One of the cool things about living in Albania, okay, Ann and I lived a lot of time with no light, okay? But one of the cool things is Rome is only like an hour away. It's like coming by plane, like going from Houston to Dallas, okay? And Ann and I, in 2005, were able to go to Florence for Christmas. We were there visiting our daughters. We spent 2 or 3 days in Florence. And Florence during Christmas is awesome because of the lights. Okay, I've brought a few pictures. Okay, this is, you know, Europe's got all these little small roads and stuff like that. And all, let's look at some of the other ones. Florence is just lit up. Every little Ruggitsa road that you go through has got lights on it. And it's just so cool. So it's nice to be with you. I'd rather be in Florence. Okay. Vienna's cool too. Stephen Platz, Stefan Platz, Stephen Plaza. You're underneath the subway. You come up into this big plaza and the Christmas lights are just amazing. And Vienna's only like from here to Oklahoma City from Tirana. So you should go to the mission field. Okay? Just choose a place that's not real far from some of these cool cities. All right. You know, Christmas. Americans, you know, most Americans, we love Christmas. All right? And most of us think of Christmas, you know, they know the story of Jesus. All right? But Christmas is more about, it's not about a Savior being born to most Americans. Okay? It's about family. It's about, you know, we come together as a community and celebrate, have a little holiday, drink some eggnog. And it's about the spirit, you know, the spirit of love and the spirit of giving a gift. All right? But Christmas is more than just a baby. All right? And I think the lights of Christmas, all right, are a metaphor for the backstory that's going on behind Christmas. All right. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. There's a backstory there. There's something going on. And we see the shepherds and the angels and the baby and Mary and Joseph. But there's this story going on behind. And these lights are a metaphor for that story. So if you think about today, just remember lights, okay? Metaphor for the story of Christmas. All right. So let me, today's passage is from Isaiah. We're going to talk about John, right? But we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And this is a prophecy. We're going to do all three of these candles today, okay? Prophecy and light. You said number 2 was light. Is that right? Number 3 is joy. Okay. Isaiah 9 is a prophecy that talks about the coming Messiah, the gift of the Messiah. You know, David was promised a son that was going to reign forever. And then Israel began to, Messiah, the king, the anointed one. So Israel began to look for this son. And in Isaiah 9, there's a prophecy about the son. And Jesus, the whole story of Jesus, there's several, many, many references about Jesus being the son of David, Messiah. So Isaiah 9 talks about this. It's the gift of the Messiah to Israel, to the world. All right? So let me read this, and then we're going to talk about God's gift of light to the world. Let me read through it. Nevertheless, the gloom will be upon her who is distressed. Hey, it's a different text on the PowerPoint than what I'm reading from. Just go with it, okay? The gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he highly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. You have multiplied the nation, increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as when men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For he have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his oppressor, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the gift of God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establishment with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the God's gift of the Messiah is a light to the world. And there's three things that I want us to see. Okay? It's why we need this gift. All right? How do we unwrap the gift? And what's inside the gift? You know, if you're in my house, Ann's an excellent gift wrapper. So it's, you know, it's complicated to unwrap the gift. There's always something cool inside. All right? And she always gets me something I need. So why do I need it? How do I unwrap it? And what's inside of it? So let's start there. Why do we need this gift? The passage starts off, distress, gloom, the people walked in darkness. Okay? Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Why do we need this gift? Why do we need the gift of the Messiah? Because we all live under the shadow of death. You know, death is humankind's greatest fear. And I'm sorry, this is supposed to be joy, right? And we don't want to talk about death on a day when we're supposed to be talking about joy. But it's reality. It's something that we all, death is always one for one, right? Okay? It always happens, except for one person. Okay, even for Jesus. Jesus died, but it didn't hold him. You know, we don't think about it much. If you lived in Syria, maybe, right now, if you lived in Yemen, you go to bed at night, you're not sure if there's going to be some bombs dropped on you, if you're going to make it through the day. In America, we don't, you know, death, we've got medicine, we've got, you know, the age, the life expectancy has increased. You young guys probably never think about it much. But our culture really is impacted by a fear of death. You know, we don't, as a culture, we don't believe in life after death. We don't. We've been taught that we all evolved. We're just an accident, all right? And that one day we're going to die, and that's going to be it. We're just going to dissolve into nothingness. And that leads to despair. Okay, it leads to the type, you know, I want to say depression, but it's just like, why are we here? You know, Bertrand Russell said, the life of man is one long march through the night. We don't know what's out there. It's just darkness, right? And we live under that shadow. He says, brief and powerless is man's life. On him and all his race, the slow, sure doom falls pitiless and dark. Without hope, without an understanding or an assurance that there is eternal life, ultimately life is just worthless. It's purposeless. So we've got to figure out a way to cope. All right? In our culture, we typically cope with things like sex, image, you know, trying politics, things that we try to use to bring significance into our life. But ultimately, we know they all fail. The shadow of darkness. You know, if there is no life after death, then it really makes life today difficult to live. Let me give you an example. Imagine that you've got a day off and you're going to do something that you enjoy. You get a lot of pleasure from it. I don't know, what might it be? Joey may go and get his guitar and go somewhere and sing. I don't know. Maybe I'll go find a coffee shop and sit down with, go with Ann, and we'll have a talk. We'll find some sun and we'll drink some coffee together. Some people go for a walk. I saw a guy as we were coming to church today, I saw a guy jogging. He looked like it was just bringing him pleasure. All right. So you're going to do something today that brings you pleasure. And before you leave, somebody breaks into your house. Okay. He's got a gun. And he says, you know what? Today's it. I'm going to kill you. Sorry, Charlie. Today's it. Okay. But you know what? I'm going to give you 2 hours. But rest assured, after 2 hours, your life's over. I want you to go out and do what you were going to do. Go out and enjoy life. Practice that thing that brings you joy. But just understand that in 2 hours, it's over. All right? Could you truly enjoy that cup of coffee? Could you truly enjoy that walk in the park? I'm going to go running and enjoy this, knowing that after 2 hours it's over. You know, this uncertainty, this certainty of death, and that's it. We can't live life today without hope for the future. And the world, America, we kid ourselves by doing it, even though we don't think about it much. Okay, it's really part of our culture. And a lot of what we see in our culture is trying to deal with the shadow of death. We need it. Why? Because look what happened. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned, is shining. All right, Jesus brings life and light into our darkness. You know, it's interesting. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. I learned these verses when I was like 8, 9, 10 years old. All right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. John 4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of the world. Okay? With Jesus, He brings life. He releases us from the shadow of darkness. You know, and the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness was not able to overcome it. All right. Jesus is the light of the world, and He helps us. He gives us life. He doesn't help us. He gives us life because He releases us from the shadow of darkness. You know, Jesus says, this has been important for me over the last 6, 7, 8 years when it finally began to dawn on me. And I hope Dean talks about this later on. In chapter 8, okay, Jesus says, you will never taste death. Whoever believes in me will never taste death. Okay? It won't. You don't even get a taste of it. All right. Chapter 11, Jesus says, he who believes in me will never, ever die. Okay? In Albanian, it's cool. And I've told you this before. Nuk do të vdes kur për jet. 3 times it emphasizes we are not going to be touched by death. And I don't know. I'll find out one day. But I believe that we just pass from here to there. We don't experience it. We stop breathing, but we don't experience it. Those who believe in Jesus. Death has been removed. We stop breathing. And maybe we have to suffer some at the end. But, you know, Dallas Willard made this crazy statement. He says, he told John Ortberg, the guy in California, he said, you know, I think it's going to be a couple of weeks after I died that I realized I died. And Ortberg was like, what? Like, oh yeah, John, don't you too? Why are you here? How did I get here? Well, you died a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know that. Just he didn't taste it. And that's the promise that we have with Jesus. You know, Bonhoeffer, death is the supreme festival on the road to freedom. That's crazy. You know, it's a festival. It's just, it's a party that we go to on the road to freedom. And when we realize that, when the light of Jesus shines upon us and we grab that truth, then it changes everything. Bonhoeffer, he knew when he went back to Germany, he was ultimately probably going to end up in his execution, and it did. But he went back to minister to his people. He was free to follow God. You know, sometimes we worry about the things of this life, right, that we have to have, and it restricts us from following joy. It restricts us from experiencing joy, from following Jesus and experiencing joy. But the light, this gift, it releases us to follow Jesus and to experience what He's got for us. And the consequence in our life is joy. So, why do we need this gift? Because, hey, life, we walk in the shadow of death. And this gift brings light and life. So how do we unwrap it? How do we unwrap this gift? And the answer is grace. We just receive it through faith, and the gift unwraps itself. How do we know this? It says, look at this. You have multiplied the nation. Okay? You have broken the yoke. All right? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is God at work. The very last phrase says, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Zeal is God's action that comes out of love, all right, and goodness, because he wants to. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's going to make it happen. All right. You know, he gives 2 examples, as in the day of Midian. All right, that's when Gideon conquered. It said that the whoever they were, the Assyrians, okay, whoever the Amalekites, there were so many of them, they were like the sand on the seashore. And Gideon went up with 300 people, and he didn't do anything but break his light, and then God won the battle. Right? This is a grace gift. We struggle against death. We do all we can. But God is the one that gives us life, and it is a grace thing. And no military hardware. You just burn your clothes. Take these tanks. Take this armor. I was noticing yesterday these stories, these commercials for... I watch a lot of football, right? A lot of football. I love American football. I'm a dude. And so what do we... What kind of show... What kind of commercials do we have for dudes? Army. Right. And so these have the artillery shooting off. Become a warrior is the thing at the end. And I'm thinking, what is happening with America? You know, we are we're a warrior country now, right? Become a warrior. I was in the service. Okay, I'm not against military service. But the battle is going to be won without the artillery. It's going to be won without the tanks. We're just going to melt them all down. You know, what do? We build them up. We build them up. At the end of the time, they're going to be melted down. We don't need them for this battle. Death is overcome by God's goodness, not by what we do. A child is given. A son is born. This is important. The story is important. I need to make sure that I can get this, okay? What the world wants is Christmas without Jesus. We'll be honest with each other. Okay? But the story is important. Not just the message, okay? But the person. And what does John, 1 John 1, 1 through 4 says, this word, we heard it, we saw it, we handled it. Okay? Christmas to John was not just, oh, God's so cool. Okay? It was a person that they touched and they heard and they handled. You know, Christianity is the only religion that it makes a difference if the story's true or not. You know, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, it depends upon you. It doesn't depend upon Muhammad. He can be like, you know, he's got to stand before God and be judged. And if he lied to us, that's between him and God, right? But we have to earn our way into paradise. It depends upon us. It doesn't depend upon, you know, Allah or whoever the founder is, Muhammad, Buddha, it doesn't depend upon them. Other religions, we have to earn this release from death. Okay? But in Christianity, Jesus earned it for us. It's a pure grace transaction. We just receive it. The story is important because it depends entirely upon what Jesus did, not upon what we do. All right? So you young people, okay? When you hear the world trying to say, it's just what's important is, you know, the lessons of Jesus. He was just a man, but he was, you know, he was eloquent. He had a good philosophy, you know. You know, call Cafro. That's not true. And don't call Cafro. Just say, call it what it is. That is not true. The story. The child was born. Jesus lived. He was given. And we, it's the gift of God, and we unwrap it through faith. We just receive it. You know, to as many, you know, as received it, he gave them the right to become the Son of God. We receive the gift through faith. We come to God. We receive it. We open it and it unwraps itself. We're released from the shadow of death. Now, what do we find when we open the gift? All right, what's inside? All right. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. All right. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's what we find when we open it up. Wonderful Counselor. Now this Jesus is our friend. He speaks to our heart. He does. All right? But the idea is that His plans, He's strategic, okay? And His plans and designs and decrees for His people are marvelous, all right? They lead to harmony and fullness and life and light and joy, all right? We go, what am I going to do? I'm so depressed, all right? I go to a counselor. He says, well, do this and your life will get better, all right? When we follow Jesus, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Okay? Life, He's the source of life. And the plans that He has for us, the road that He lays out for us is life. He is a wonderful Counselor. He's a mighty God. All right, wonderful Counselor. This is important too. And you guys that hang around me much, you get tired of hearing this. This is a reference to Yahweh. All right, the mighty God is Yahweh Himself. So Jesus somehow, some way, takes the name, the person stands in the place of Yahweh, Jehovah, for us. And this means He's faithful to His covenants. All right? I made a promise. He says, I made a promise. It's going to happen. The mighty God. And I'm strong enough to make it happen. I'm completely sovereign. You can trust me. I promised you life. And I am strong enough to give you life. All right? So follow me. All right? You know, it's not Allah, it's not Brahma, it's not Buddha, it's not Hachiman, it's Jesus. And we say, a lot of people say, doesn't make any difference. We hear it all the time in Albania. If you believe in your God, we believe in our God, it's the same God, it makes no difference what you believe, what you call Him, all right? My grandmother was that way. My grandmother, I thought she was a Christian. I'm hoping that she was. Towards the end of her life, she said, told me one time, Al, I've told you this before, Alan, it doesn't make any difference who you believe in. It's just that you believe. All right? But this gift is the mighty God. God Himself. Okay? He's the everlasting Father, Abba. All right? He's our protector. He loves us. And He's for our ever Father. You know, maybe some of us here have experienced a bad relationship with our dad. All right? I hope not. But maybe you did. But God's not that way. Jesus is not that way. He's our Father. And He loves us. And we can come and get in His arms. Right? And He's always there for us. He's the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And this isn't just a reference to inner peace. I'm so peaceful now. That's good. The peace of God that passes understanding, will fill your hearts and minds. That's true. All right. But this idea is shalom. All right. Which is this idea of flourishing. That things work in harmony. You know, our world today doesn't work in harmony. Lots of wars, lots of fights, lots of tariffs, trade wars. There'll be no trade wars in the kingdom of God. Okay? It's going to be fair. It'll be just. Right? But it's going to work. It's going to be harmony. Goods will be able to travel from here to here. We need food over there, it can go. We need medicine over here, it can go. No restrictions. There'll be reconciliation within families. Within communities, within nations, He's the Prince of Peace. It's almost like Jesus has moved into the projects, okay, that are run down and in their need of renewal. And he's beginning a renewal project, is what it's like. You know, and sometimes I was still am an engineer in one way or another. Okay, it's hard to give that up. But I built gas plants and compressor stations. And one of the cool things in life is, you know, you can build a plant and you drive by it 10 years later and there it is and it's working, the lights are on. You tell your kid, hey, see that over there? Your dad built that. You know, one of the depressing things in life is when you drive, you know, you're out on the country road and you drive by the compressor station or the plant and it's shut down. All right? Some of the equipment's been removed and it looks terrible. You're like, oh, I invested a lot of my life in that. And look, it's shut down. It's a bummer. That's not the way it is with Jesus. He started this renewal project and it will be finished. And you guys are working in this community, right? You're Jesus' agent for renewal in a way in this community, right? Starts with faith, but it starts with help. It starts with food. It starts with canoes, picking people up. It starts from mucking out homes and stuff like that, right? And Jesus is going to complete it. One day you'll be gone and you'll get to experience the festival on the road to freedom. And then so many years after that, you'll come back and you'll see what God has done in this neighborhood. Because He will accomplish His purposes. This is the gift that's there. It's release from the shadow of darkness. It's hope for the future. It's assurance for the future. The light of Christmas. You know, we're all kind of like that gal that was hauled up before Jesus, you know, for stoning. And do you think she kind of felt like she was living under the shadow of death? She probably did, like, oh my goodness. You know, I thought that I could get away with this stuff. I thought my life was okay. And now, all of a sudden, I'm standing here guilty of the law. And this man that knows the law, that never violates the law, they're asking him, should the law be enacted upon me? Death. She was living under the shadow of death. But what happened to her? She came to Jesus and she found life. That's just cool. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. This gal that was under the shadow of life, she came to Jesus and she found light and life. I think that verse sits perfectly where it goes. And I'm sure everybody here has trusted Christ. I'm sure everybody has. Maybe there's somebody here that's not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. He's saying, there's life available for you. Here's a gift. All right, the story of Christmas is the gift of life. The light of life. It is yours. Okay, it's free. Take it. Let it open up into your life. And when you do, you're going to find a wonderful counselor, a mighty God that can work. All right? The relationship with a Father that's perfect and pure and peace, flourishing. Okay? There may be Dietrich Bonhoeffer type things in your life, right? You may not have the biggest house or whatever, but still, He's working in your heart to give you peace so that you can live this life with joy. If you've never trusted in Jesus, trust in Him today. Trust in Him today. Just say, Lord, I come to You. I believe the the story of Christmas. I'm going to rely upon the story of Christmas. And when that happens, He gives you life, eternal life. And you know, for some of us, we don't live into it, if you know what I mean. We've trusted Christ, but we don't really follow Jesus. We don't live into the life that we have. We've trusted Christ. He's important to us. But we kind of have a foot in both worlds, right? We have a foot in American secular society. We have a foot in the family of God. You know, this gift is available for us. We follow Him. We don't live in darkness. So we trust in Him and then we follow Him. All right? And maybe you're at a point in your life where you're not really following Jesus. All right? You know Him, you've trusted Him, but you're not listening to Him and you're not following Him. Life is there, Jesus. Joy, light. You know, we know it's true. Fulfilled prophecy. Live into, trust Jesus, live into Jesus. Okay? The light of Christmas. So when you think about the Christmas lights, you're going to go out tonight and see the Christmas lights? All right? The backstory. It's cool, that manger out there in the front, okay, of the house. But think about the backstory. All that God did to bring life into a world, or light into a world that was living under the shadow of death. So let me pray for us, okay? Lord God, thanks for Jesus. Thanks for the story. Thanks that He came. Lord God, help us to understand that. Help us to grasp it. Help us to live into it, please. Father God, thank You for light. Thank You for life. Thank You for joy that You've made available to us. We just can't express enough. We don't have words, Father God. So we just humbly come before You and say thank You so much. Help us to live into Your gift of light. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.